Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, listeners. This is Pat the Talking Bearskin Rogue from Flame On right here on the Nerdy Show Network. If you're looking for some sweet, nerdy queer in your ear, then head over to nerdyshow.com/flameon and check us out. We cover everything from TV to movies, comics to drag queens, and so much more. For a gay and geeky slice of pop culture life, get ready to flame on.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
And I'm Jess.
Hey, Jess, welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
It's been like a century since you've been on the show.
I think exactly a century. I counted, yeah.
You have had all kinds of crazy shit happen.
I have, yeah. Lots of what they tell me are life-changing moments, and a lot of work as well. A lot of work.
Yeah, should we say that you got married and you went to Japan for like a month practically?
What?
I did, yeah. So, yeah, 3 weeks, just over, like a day over the three-week mark. Over Christmas and New Year's, which was great. Much needed rest and relaxation time. Because fun fact, starting a new fast-paced career in the same year that you're planning a wedding is not really the best recipe for, you know, a stress-free life.
Well, that's why you hire a wedding planner, so you don't have to do it yourself.
Yeah, but they cost like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
And I was not really interested in that.
Did you kick back in that ramen spa where you bathe in ramen juice or anything like that?
No. We never made it up there. We really wanted to, but I mean, so we had our itinerary be a little bit more laid back than the last time we went, i.e. not a new city every day, basically. Mm. So we went skiing in Nozawa Onsen.
Wow.
For a few days, which was the most amazing skiing that I've ever experienced. And it was this amazing, cute little old Japanese town that you just like walked up to the ski hill for and just went skiing. It was really totally different than what it is here, but really, really amazing. And then, kicked it in Osaka for 5 days, then went down to Wakayama and stayed at an onsen with caves, which was pretty cool. It was like carved out caves that overlooked the ocean and you sat in a hot spring and
whoa,
it was pretty magical.
Ocean spa.
That sounds unreal.
Yeah. It was really great. I mean, the only thing was like it was freezing and like because the wind would like whip through the cave as you were like walking from, you know, shower spot to get into the onsen. But other than that,
but that's like the best when you're in like a hot bathtub or spring and then it's cold on the outside. But like the bottom half of you have submerged in hot water. It's like the best feeling ever for me. I don't know about you guys.
Were you chilling with any monkeys in there? I've seen the pictures with the monkeys.
Not in there, but we went to see the monkeys. There's like one hot spring that you could go to where they might be. But I didn't really need to bathe with monkeys, but it was cool to see them.
We have different needs, but I respect that.
Yeah.
You could bathe with sea monkeys probably.
Probably. I mean, they're just a powder that you kind of sprinkle like flavor dust
They're not a powder.
They're not. I've never ordered any. Have you ordered some, Boar?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, they're the powder that you're describing is eggs, and then they hatch, and then they're little brine shrimp.
Okay.
And they swim around.
Are sea monkeys?
They're
just
not
shrimp?
Always just a powder.
Wait, I saw the television show And
they're
like
a problem in shipping.
They're like quadrupeds. They're like humanoids. I've seen the show.
There's a show?
The sea monkeys.
I didn't know there was a show.
It's a live action show about actual sea monkeys.
Are you sure you're not just like extrapolating what you saw on the label?
No, there's a real show. It's called The Amazing Live Sea Monkeys. You know, you've never seen it before?
Oh,
it's an amazing show.
No, I've never
seen it. All right, you guys are so behind the times.
He is telling the truth.
How do you guys not see
actually
this? It's a documentary. They shrunk a camera and they were filming what sea monkeys actually do. They have nipples on their heads and they have normal jobs just like us, except under the water, I think.
I think I did see this. 1992.
Yeah, you
it's kind of like from the ALF era of television where they're trying to make, you know, a concept sitcom with something else going on, a little bit of Coneheads. It lasted one season.
And they all kind of look like the Six Flag troll, but with nipples on their with nipples on their head. But anyway, enough about sea monkeys, guys. I want to talk more about Japan. Did you, like, okay, I'm really excited because I've never been to Japan because I'm lame and I really want to go, but the two things I want to go to are on opposite ends of the entire country, so it's impossible to do in one trip. It's the,
impossible. It's you like, just have to get a bigger timeline.
If I spend a month and a lot of money, I can travel, but there's, like, the Fox Village on the very, very north, I think, and then Usagi Island on the southwest, and have you heard of them or been or anything?
No, I haven't heard of these.
There is an
really?
There's an island in southern Japan off the coast where lots of tests were done during World War I and World War II on bunnies. And at some point when everything got shut down, they released all these bunnies. So now on Usagi Island, there are just thousands and thousands of really friendly bunnies. And if people go there, you can look it up. There's videos of people just sitting there with food and they're just jumping all over you and cuddling with you. It's insane. They're everywhere.
That's cool.
I think there's also
a cat
island.
Is that like down by Okinawa, like
there?
That south?
It might be. Let me look that up because I have no idea.
Because I mean, if it's not in Okinawa, I mean, so the nice thing about being in Japan is you get the Japan Rail Pass, which essentially gives you unlimited rides on the JR train line, which is the main train line in Japan, wherever you want to go, basically. So depending on your trip and how long it is. So, like, for a 7-day trip, I think it's, like, $150. And then you could take, like, any Shinkansen that you want. Every Shinkansen except for two. And you could just get around super easily and super economically.
There's also deals for, if you're a tourist, they give you, you can get a cheaper train pass for the Shinkansen or something.
That's this. Yeah, you have to prove that you're the visitor. It's not available.
Oh, I was wrong. This shit is south of Hiroshima. Like, southeast of Hiroshima.
Oh, that's probably, like, if it's near Hiroshima, then it's, like, probably about four hour Shinkansen from Tokyo.
Oh, man, you pronounced that way better than I did. Hiroshima. I've been doing it wrong all these years. I've been saying Hiroshima, and she's like, Hiroshima. I've been doing it wrong, Kat. Why do you never correct me?
I don't know, Brandon. I just don't know.
All right.
Well, any other highlights we should mention before we dive headfirst into a oblivion of nerd crap?
So I think one of my most enjoyable / strangest moments is we went on Christmas Eve to a theme park. We went to Universal Studios Japan in Osaka because Christmas is for couples in Japan. It's not like it is here.
I feel really
it's
bad.
It's kind of like a Valentine's Day of sorts. Like you go on dates and
eat
it's lovey-dovey.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
They do love KFC, what? Don't they?
Over yeah, there? You eat Kentucky Fried Chicken on
holidays.
Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Everybody
yeah, we also
that.
Eat Kentucky Fried Chicken on Christmas.
Yeah, you have to.
Is it better there?
Kind of. I mean, it's still like... I mean, I think the chicken is probably of better quality, but it's still like super greasy and...
They have different standards and quality like rules for their food.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't compare to like karage, which is the Japanese fried chicken, which is so good. But yeah, so no, we're at the theme park, and first of all, the theme park experience in Japan is just so much more magical. Like, the people that work there don't hate their lives, and they're just, like, so happy all the time.
Do they have rules about how they treat people and pay them and stuff? That's really funny. We don't have those here.
Yeah. What?
I said we don't have those here, the rules for treating people or paying them properly. So that's why
right,
we
yeah,
end
exactly.
up with people
yeah.
that are, you know.
Or people that are also even just considerate of other people's feelings in general. So they're not just like rude and obnoxious all the time. But yeah, no. So like, and everybody buys like these cute headbands that are themed. So I bought like a Hello Kitty themed Christmas headband with like holly on it. So I'd walk into stores and like all the people that work there would be like, ah, kawaii. And I'd be like, oh, I am. Thank you.
Little gaijin.
But it was just, it was such an eco boost just walking around the theme park all day. But also, I don't know if you've noticed in like anime, there's a thing where like anime girls wear these like Santa suits, like these Santa dresses.
Never seen it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. It's never, ever. But it's real. Like, I like walking around the theme park, all of these girls were like dressed in Santa suits and like cute little Santa dresses and with like little hats. And I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't expect this to be a real thing.
I thought anime was fake and not actually practiced in Japan. Are there people with tentacles too everywhere?
I did not see any tentacle people, no. But maybe that was in a love hotel, which we didn't stop into.
Next time.
But Christmas is for lovers.
Yep.
That's true.
Well, there's definitely a lot of Japanese girls with Santa outfits. I just looked it up. Safe search.
Yep.
Google that later.
Can we take a nerdy show trip to Japan?
Yes, we absolutely can.
Can you pay for it?
Oh.
No, and neither can our fans.
No means yes. Wait,
what? I don't know. I enjoy the programming. I think it would be a pretty great like video. You could do like a video tour coverage. I think
we could do a live show from the top of that, like the Eye or whatever that is in Tokyo.
Hey,
Tokyo Eye.
We usually talk about Patreon a little bit later in the show, but I'm just gonna say this right now. If you'd like us to do special reporting from different countries, we'd be more than happy to do that.
Just chop 10G right now. We will do it tomorrow.
Let us know in general with your mouth or your fingers by typing, or let us know with your dollars by going to patreon.com/nerdyshow. Right now, we're still $100 shy of being able to throw $20 a month to all of our other programs on the network for as a compensation, stipends to all of the fine people who make programming on the Nerdy Show network. But hey, once we get past that, maybe we can start talking about doing some zany stuff.
Like sending Brandon to Japan, going to go in that ramen spring.
Or maybe paying any of us.
I mean, I'd rather go to a ramen spring right now. Honestly, if there's one thing I'm going to do before I die.
Should we start a Kickstarter to send Brandon to the ramen spring?
Yeah,
Let us know.
No, it's got to be a GoFundMe. GoFundMe is the one where you do bullshit that people give you money.
Why don't you
for.
Go fund yourself?
That is a great... Do we have that? Is that a real website I can claim? GoFundYourself.com?
I don't know.
I'm looking it up. You guys keep talking.
Well... I went on a vacation over the holidays that I didn't talk about in our last episode, actually. It was a virtual vacation. Myself and the editor-in-chief of Consequence of Sound, we were both in Fort Lauderdale together. We went to Nerdy Show's John West's laboratory, where he has his big CFC router and all kinds of other weird machines, including his HTC Vive rig. And Mike and I had been talking about, oh, wouldn't it be great to spend New Year's in the parts of Washington where they filmed Twin Peaks? But neither of us could really afford the trip or the time.
Is that a south or north Bend? Is that where they filmed Twin Peaks?
I think so. Yeah, in that area. But it's basically in suburbs all surrounding Seattle. And what we did was we used the Google Earth VR app and virtually traveled to all those locations.
Wow. You mean I can actually go to Japan just by doing that?
Yes, you could, in fact. Yeah.
All right.
We could just record you with the headset on.
I'm in a ramen spring now. It's
you can delicious. Actually do that with Google Cardboard also. So if you have a good enough smartphone, just pop it in one of those Google Cardboard headsets that you can get for anywhere from like free to $15.
I can even mail you my cardboard.
Yeah.
I
feel like that's not as an immersive experience.
Send us your address. Jess will mail you her cardboard.
Just a piece of cardboard.
But yeah, the Google Street View or the Google Earth app have the Street View thing where you can like virtually walk around and stuff like that.
Well, it was running very well. We were doing research like on another computer of finding the addresses and then trying to narrow down where they were from the sky. And it was this big kind of experiment in geography and logistics. And it was a lot of fun. But I mean, we got to go to Laura's log. We went outside the Palmer house. And it was crazy just being able to like standing in front of this thing and not being there at the same time. Highly unusual, and it turns out that whole trip would be very impractical because all these locations are much farther apart than we realized they were, but it was a lot of fun. And also, speaking of destinations, let's right now travel to Iceland because one of our longtime Nerdy Show fans, Isa Biz, is doing something rather remarkable. So we had to pull him on the show to talk about it. With us on the line right now is the one, the only Nerdy Show longtime fan producer, Icebiz.
Mr. Ice.
Ahoy, hoy.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very fun to actually be on a live show. It's cool.
Well, you're going to be live.
No, it's live. We have an audience right over there.
Oh, yeah, there they are. They're being very quiet.
Well, it's recorded live in
the
studio
here,
audience.
So they could be the audience.
You won't be able to hear their applause because it's in a pause and they're very muted.
They're very furry.
You can't.
Yeah, unless their talons are out.
They also hold their feelings and their enjoyment close to the chest. So, you know, you never really know how they're reacting.
Well, speaking of a live audience, you're on the show because you're doing something tremendous that's sort of a Nerdy Show Network adjacent, and it involves a live audience in New York City.
New York City.
Let's talk about you appearing on the live one-off episode of The White Vault.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's actually a thing that's happening to me. The White Vault producer and writer, Caitlin and Travis, have somehow convinced the No Sleep podcast to have us on one of their live shows. And yeah, apparently I'm going to be on a stage reading a voice script for a live audience. This is like the weirdest thing that has ever happened to me.
Is this like a small audience, like a little venue, or like you're in a stadium?
He's in the Highline Ballroom. That's
I don't know
joke.
What that
Phil
is.
Phil Collins has performed there.
Oh, you're going to have a lot of people. You're either going to have a lot of people or no one. I have no idea how this works.
Yeah, I have the script right here next to me. I've been reading it off on and off for the last month, panicking every single time I look at it because there's a lot of lines in there.
Do you want to practice right now? Do you want to like just read a line off and we'll
I'm
just
sure,
tell you how
I'm
you're
sure
doing?
I'm sure Caitlin and Travis would really love that. They'd be thrilled.
I guess you can't.
Give us one word. Read one word.
I don't know.
Choose it wise. Oh, is that the word?
Whoa.
Damn it.
That was like three.
Wow.
I don't know.
I think I don't know which take of that you're going to use, but I kind of like both. Can you combine those?
I don't know.
Oh, beautiful. That's the one.
Okay, so
should we explain to people who don't know what the White
Vault is? We should. We absolutely should. The White Vault is a show put on by the folks who did Liberty, which was up until last year a part of the Nerdy Show Network roster of audio dramas. They since moved on to self-publish through their own Fool and Scholar Productions, and one of the other shows they've been putting out is The White Vault, which, much like Liberty, is horror of a kind and a mystery of a kind. But Ice, being from the inside and being that the show itself is shrouded in mystery, that's its kind of bag. How would you pitch it to people?
I don't know, like, have you ever been out in a cabin and there's a bit of a storm going on and you know there's nothing wrong, it's just a storm, but the lights are kind of flickering and the air is getting kind of less fun, everybody's smiling and pretending to have fun, but everybody's like, oh yeah, if the electricity goes out, we're in a bit of a pickle, we still have some food, but I don't want it to get cut out. It's that feeling right there. I think that's the best description of that podcast.
I actually live in a cabin, and that happens to me on the daily, so I feel like this show really resonates with people like me.
Yeah, woodsman's like...
Let me just ask you real quick, are there any bird characters in this show? Are there any, like large birds with voices?
There's a character called Dr. Rosa Della Torre. I don't think she's a bird, but you can pretend she is.
All right, done. Thank you.
Were you fishing for a role?
No, I can't do bird voices. I'm curious. When people incorporate birds into things, it piques my interest just a little bit more.
Wait, so. Or it beaks your interest?
It beaks my interest. I feel it right in my God cloaca.
What is a bird voice, out of curiosity?
Yeah, Boar got it. It's like, you know.
But it just literally, so it's bird noises. It's not like English spoken in like a bird voice.
Well, yeah,
how
like,
dare you?
Like me. That's pretty much it.
But yeah, there's a mystery element to The White Vault, which is, in my opinion, very well pulled off in the first season. And the second season is going to start coming out in October. And I'm very much looking forward to recording it, finding out exactly what happens to Jonas.
Well, I mean, I guess that spoiler alert, you're alive by season two.
Am I?
Oh. Well, let's talk about how you got involved with the project. It had something to do with being part of the Nerdy Show community, I assume?
Yeah. I of course wouldn't, like, no offense to Liberty, but I would never have heard of it if I wasn't following the Nerdy Show, the Nerdy Show at large.
Ha! And I still haven't heard of it. It's fine.
And I was following the Liberty podcast. I was very much enjoying the story. And they did a little bit of a Q&A episode in between, and they ended it with a casting call. Hey, we need voices for small little characters. Just Door Guard 3 and Vomiting Drug Dealer and stuff like that. And I sent in a little really bad recording of myself on my okay microphone. And they had me do, what was it? Drug Dealer, Door Guard, Door Guard 2, and...
Long story short, he threw something up.
You were all the extras. Yeah, can you give us everybody a little taste of your vomit right now?
I think he just threw up in his mouth a little bit there.
Beautiful. It's way better than my vomit. What's your best vomit sound, Cap?
Oh, that's a cat vomiting.
That's a
sorry.
Cat vomiting.
No.
That's the only vomit sound I know. That just sounds like someone getting off.
You're right, or being sorry. Or having had your like your throat slit and you're trying to speak.
Yep.
One of the two. Exactly. They're basically the same thing.
Israeli, she's right. They're interchangeable.
Well,
but yeah, okay. That's how I got into contact with Travis and Caitlin. And after doing, they gave me like a semi-big part in as a one-off character. Just a, I don't know what you would call them, CD character. Has more than three spoken lines in one episode. I don't know what to call that. And they contacted me shortly after the Liberty podcast, the second season of Liberty Research, and asked me if I was willing to do an Icelandic character in another podcast they're working on, The White Vault. And that's how I got the job.
You know, it's weird. I haven't mentioned yet that in the Nerdy Show canon, you are the fan who is literally from Iceland, and that the old forum thread that happened way, 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 way back.
Oh, that's why he's Mr. Ice. I get it.
Literally Iceland. Yeah, I remember those times. Wasn't active on the forums, but I remember the May-mays that created.
May-may?
Mayonnaise? Is that how they say memes in Iceland?
No, oh, no, it's not. That's not how anybody says memes. It's just funny.
I'm going to start saying that.
Maymays.
You guys see those maymays on Facebook? So the show is going to be March 13th, 2018 in New York City. So if tickets are still available, and we'll link to them if they are on this episode's page, you should go out and you should check out this live performance. But I mean, it is fortunate that you get to read from a script instead of memorizing the lines.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, yes. I am very bad with lines, and I'm very happy that we can have a very big font script in front of us.
I hope it's Impact font we're using. Very easy to
and
see.
Travis will actually be doing the, I think it's called Foley, the on live.
Oh, so, interesting.
He's going to take some coconuts up there. And
he's got a big stack of celery, and he's just going to crush it.
Celery and a baseball bat, yeah.
I actually saw this amazing film in New York City once that was called Brand Upon the Brain, and it was it's a silent movie that was engineered to have the script read by someone perform live, and then also had a live orchestra and a live Foley crew, and it was incredible. They were doing the Foley live and everything. When I saw it, Laurie Anderson did the narration, but also Crispin Glover did it. Now when you buy it on DVD, you can hear all the different live reads from that series of performances.
Weird.
Yeah.
So you got pretty high expectations. Got it.
Yeah, live. Live. I expect old fashioned live Foley.
Nothing but the best.
Not a computer with a. That will be a crippling
there
disappointment.
There needs to be a guy with a desk full of props right on the stage.
Travis is just gonna have like high heel shoes on his hands. Like.
Do you know if this is gonna be recorded for like so people can view it later? Or no?
I actually don't know anything. The size of the stadium that Cap just described was news to me.
It's not a stadium. It is still an intimate venue.
It's a 50,000 seater. I want you to know 50,000 seat, which is nothing in New York.
God, no, no. I kind of got I don't want to say I got tricked into it. That's absolutely incorrect. But I was kind of just told, like, "Hey, live show. Do you want to come? Can you come?" And I was, of course, like, "Yeah, yeah. I'm coming right now. This is awesome."
right now, to speak.
But oh wait, do I have to travel?
You guys are dirty.
And yeah, they tell me it's in New York and all that and all the fun stuff, and I'm getting super excited. And then, like, slowly it dawns on me what I actually said yes to. And yeah, it's been kind of a roller coaster of I can't do this, but I have to do it, to like, yeah, yeah, you can do it, and then back to no, I can't do this, but I have to do this.
I'm curious, have you been to New York before?
Yes, my bus broke down just outside New York once when I was going back to Iceland.
Oh, okay, then you're... I mean, yeah, so the direct bus route to Iceland from New York is pretty long.
So. Yeah, it's intense.
No, that's actually... that's a long story, but story cut short. I came to America, I think it was 2012, and there was a hurricane thing that happened while I was there.
Oh, so yeah.
Jesus. So the flight that I had from Florida to New York, so, and I had a... Like, I was going to land in New York and then just fly straight to Iceland from there. It got cancelled, so I got the pleasurable experience of taking a bus from Key West to New York.
Oh, God. JFK.
Ooh, that's a long bus
ride.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, and we got the also pleasurable experience of not being able to pre-order our tickets because, of course, there was a hurricane, millions of flights went down, so everybody's trying to get back into New York. I think it was, like, low-key, evicted? No. What's the word I'm looking for?
Evacuated?
Evacuated. It was, like, low-key evacuated. People were asked to, like, please, please don't stay in your basement. And so trying to get into New York was its own fucking nightmare. And I think I spent 10 hours on a bus station floor waiting for one of the buses.
Well, you're like a regular New Yorker then.
He was getting the full experience.
I've actually never been to New York, ever, so I don't know shit about New York. I'm just telling you.
I think you should come. I'm apparently doing a play there.
We should. Give me the dates. Cap, I wasn't paying attention. What are the dates again? What are the dates? Maybe I'll fly out there or take a bus.
It's March 13th this year.
You know what we should do? To get the real experience, we should go drive to the Keys, then take the bus from the Keys...
To New York.
Yeah. And we'll live stream the whole time.
Yeah.
It'll be our own desert bus, except that it will be in the tropics.
Yeah, our phones and computers will definitely last.
Be not in the tropics eventually.
We're in hour 43. We're at the 17th gas station.
So my impression of this recording is that it's a one-off episode, so technically accessible to anybody, and it will be recorded for audio purposes for, you know, air later on in the year.
Oh, you looked it up. Okay.
This is my impression from what I've heard from Travis and Caitlin. But but as far as being filmed for posterity, I don't know. But
I just want to see Mr. Ice on stage reading the script. I want to see his beautiful face.
I'm sure there
sweating.
Will be photos. You want to see the fear? God. You want to smell the panic?
I want the fear. I want to see it.
Now, Ice, since we have you on here, I have one. Before we let you go, I have one question about Iceland and Icelandic culture. It's a place, you know, it's rich in history. It's very beautiful from what I've seen. I hope to go there someday, and maybe we can, you know, see each other in person. That would be novel. But do you own a pair of necro pants by any chance? Are you familiar with?
Is this a real thing? Because Cap told me about this today, and you asked. You want to? I have no idea. You want to explain this? Because I'm.
Well, I mean,
lost.
I think I should explain it.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a lot to explain with the necro pants. I mean.
Do you know anything about what he's talking about?
Yes, it's called Nordbuxer.
What?
Nordbuxer. The Icelandic word for underpants is Nærbuxer, but that's Nordbuxer. Just a slight little change. Cap, do you want to explain what that is, or is it my pleasure of explaining Icelandic?
I want to hear how you explain this.
All right, so apparently getting cold below the waist was a problem for a while. So different things were tried out, and like whale blubber and other types of pants were tried to make to make yourself immune from the cold and the everlasting rain and wind. That's the most problem. And apparently at some point, somebody thought it was a cool idea, like, hey, other people die and they have skin shaped just like my legs. So if a bigger person than me dies, I surely can take the skin off their legs and sew it into pants and wear those underneath my warm clothes because they will fit snugly. And that's apparently what they did. And there is, I think, one or two copies of this somewhere in a museum in Iceland. And the myth about it is that you would put coins in the... Oh, boy.
Well, the genitalia are still attached.
Coin purse.
To the legs.
In the coin purse.
Yes. What everybody should understand about this is that these pants, they're not Leatherface, you know, casually sewn from the flesh. They are literally like if you directly peeled someone's entire abdominal skin down to the foot off.
With their genitals still on.
And all the hair.
And then stepped into it.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you shove your coins into their purse and then you're lucky.
Yeah. So it is real. We have confirmation. I didn't know if this was real.
I mean, I have seen photos, but they could be, you know, facsimiles.
Oh, I saw a photo. I thought I was looking at a mummy, but it's someone's pants.
The official instruction, any of you or listeners are interested in acquiring necropants, is you have to get permission from a man to use his skin after his death and after he's been buried. So that's this important process. There's sort of a ritual component involved. You must dig up his body and flay the skin from the corpse in one piece from the waist down. And as soon as you step into the pants, they will stick to your own skin. A coin must be stolen from a poor widow and placed in the scrotum along with the magical sign. This is Nabrokdarsfjör. I don't know if I said that right.
Probably not, but keep going.
written on a piece of paper. Consequently, the coin will draw money into the scrotum so that it will never be empty as long as the original coin is not removed to ensure salvation, because obviously you've done a horrible thing in these necropants, so you might be going to hell. The owner has to convince someone else to take ownership of the pants and step into each leg as soon as he gets out of it. The necropants will thus keep the money-gathering nature for generations.
Are you sure this wasn't a chapter in American Gods? Because this sounds like something out of American Gods.
It might be. Well, that's where the phrase comes from, may your scrotum never be empty. It comes from that Icelandic tradition.
And here I am always trying to empty mine.
You've been doing it wrong.
I'm doing it wrong.
You need to be filling it. So if you want to be...
So that's the source of Iceland's horrible inflation problem. There's like 30 necropants going around just making cash.
There's like 30 pairs of pants that own most of the wealth in Iceland in their wiener janglers.
Nice. And then the janglers, because there's coins in there rattling around.
Yeah, wiener janglers.
I don't want the trickle down from those.
Wiener janglers.
Okay.
You said they're coins?
You're gonna love it.
Does it have to be a coin, or like, what if you only have electronic money in the future?
A Bitcoin stolen from a poor widow.
Yeah, it's like, get someone. It's got to be electronic at some point.
Though, if she has a Bitcoin, she's still doing okay.
Can you install a card swiper? I mean, yeah, it's 2018.
Directly between each ball, there's one.
It depends on the gender of the person that you got the pants from.
Well, you know what?
I didn't
hear anything about female necropants. Only male.
I don't know that there are any, but
I think it's taboo to skin women. At least in 2018. I don't know about last year. I wasn't looking into it.
So Brandon has standards. We have found them, but he does have them.
No. I'll still do it. I'm just saying it's taboo. I'll skin a woman. I'll skin a man. I don't care. Everyone's for equality. Let's skin everybody.
You're officially not invited to Iceland.
Woo! And since there's so few people living there, his word is law.
When I go to move there, I'll use this as like my entrance interview. Like, here's what I said once about Iceland. And they'll be like, no, you can't come into our country.
They'll ask you, like, hey, so what are you doing here? Well, I'm just here for the necropants. I want to acquire a pair.
Yeah, I was really interested. To be a necromancer, you need necropants, I heard. So,
thank you so much for joining us.
This ended on a great note.
And everybody, please, if you're in New York City, if tickets are still available, maybe, and if they're not, find a scalper, get in and see the No Sleep podcast live with special opening act, The White Vault.
Don't say scalper. Yeah, if we just talk about skinning people, Cap. Jeez.
What? I brought a scalp.
Can we get into your performance just by bringing scalps now? Is that what's happening?
I mean, you used to be able to change them like for Caitlin... money, so maybe that's how you get the coins in American culture.
And then you put the money in the necropan.
This is a horror show. I feel like Caitlin and Travis would appreciate, you know, scalps.
Please do not show up with knives to the show. I'm scared enough already.
There's security. It's a huge venue. You'll be fine.
Stop saying it's huge!
All right, so in the interim time, in the 2 weeks between this episode and the last episode, a rather remarkable moment in science and industry took place. The Falcon Heavy rocket launched.
And it didn't, yes, it didn't rather explode. Remarkable.
Yes.
Quite.
Here in Orlando, we actually got to see it, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, everyone in the world got to see it live, but me.
I didn't either. I was on an airplane flying to Florida.
That's actually the coolest place to see it.
Yeah, except for the only thing that would have been able to possibly see it in the airplane was the cockpit.
I was texting Danica, and I was like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm watching the Falcon Heavy rocket. And I was like, what? Why didn't you tell me it was blasting off? And I went outside, and I saw the most perfect view of the smoke that was left behind after missing the rocket. And he's like, oh, I didn't think you'd have a good view. And I'm like, I had a perfect view. And I just...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I just forgot, and I screwed it up.
Good job.
I wasn't there. I'm sorry.
Well, there will be others. Fortunately, this one worked, so it will certainly work again.
Did you watch the stream that they did on YouTube?
I did watch parts of it.
I watched it after the fact, since, you know, I was traveling at the time. But the stream was really cool. They break down the entire project and tell you like what's going on, and they tell you a little bit about like the rockets and why they're doing it and stuff like that. And then they show the actual launch, and you get to see all the space footage and everything, and the boosters landing. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, we should link that video. And it was really great. But I have to say, the one moment is after it's launched and it's making its orbits before it lands. They start playing Bowie, and I was so confused. Like, I was like, where is this music coming from? Did I leave my Spotify playing or something? I was like, oh, nope. They're playing that in Mission Control right now. And like, you can hear the people singing along to it and like being really happy. And all I can think of is like, this is an actual episode of Silicon Valley that's happening right now, because it's just so descriptive of how things happen in this weird world.
You know what's weird is people were saying this is like the largest thing launched into space. Like, it's the largest rocket. It's actually not. There's been a few.
It's like the largest thing since the Saturn V.
Is it? Okay, because I've just been hearing it's the largest thing like mankind sent to space. Like, there's been other things.
No.
But the crowning achievement, besides the car we'll talk about in a minute, was the coolest technological marvel that they actually achieved 2 out of 3 was the boosters disconnecting and then landing back nearly where they started,
which they've done before.
Not, I don't think, with this much success. They before they did like maybe one at a time, but they couldn't.
No,
do...
I mean, I've seen them actually do it during night launches. I mean,
they've landed all 3 boosters before.
Well, not 3, but 2.
Oh yeah, they did two this time.
Yeah, they did 2 out of 3. Not bad. Yeah.
But
not bad,
I mean, it is remarkable. Like, I was telling
not
someone.
Not bad,
recently,
guys. Not bad.
If someone had told me, oh yeah, so we're going to have rockets that like, you know, they blast off and then they land back down vertically, I'd be like, that is some cartoon bullshit. That's such a crock of shit. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I don't understand why it wasn't proposed earlier. Did we just not have the technology?
I think just conceptually, it's like, that does.
I mean, they're falling back anyway.
That's too much.
Well, actually, they don't.
But I mean, when you watch it happen, it happens so perfectly.
Yeah. And then they land like almost at the same exact time. Boop. So awesome.
Yeah, it was like a 2 second thing that I think I read, but it was just, that's just insane.
Honestly, that was probably more impressive than the rocket launch. With those landing.
It really was.
Yeah. But let's talk about the Roadster.
Yeah.
From an episode of Silicon Valley, but still cool and serves a very important scientific purpose.
Are you saying he just stole it?
Actually, they did it on
Silicon
Top
Valley.
Gear first.
What? Oh, they did try to. They
yeah,
tried
top,
to
top
launch
gear, they
it
tried
in
to
space.
Launch
oh,
a right. Reliant Robin into space.
But they didn't succeed, but it got pretty sort of.
It got up a little bit.
And then crashed.
And then it crashed, yeah.
It was really great. But yeah, he launched
but
his own
Elon
Roadster.
Musk took that dream from Top Gear
and his money and said, we're doing it.
And I assume everyone listening certainly must know this, but he launched his Tesla Roadster into space while playing Starman by David Bowie.
With a mannequin wearing one of their prototype spacesuits.
Yeah. And with a copy of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And also,
don't panic
on
the dashboard.
Yeah, he had don't panic on the dashboard. Oh, so there was a reference to Douglas Adams. Yeah, yeah. But in, I believe, the trunk, they had an arc, a disc with...
Yeah, there's
three Isaac Asimov books.
There are these tiny optical discs called ARCs that which is spelled arch, but it's pronounced arc for some reason. And they can hold 360 terabytes and last like
and they put
14 billion plus years. Yeah, and they took all that space instead of archiving like the whole of the internet on it. They did only three Isaac Asimov books, the Foundation trilogy. And,
I would have at least put all of Wikipedia on
those. You could have put everything in human history on those.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad they didn't put the internet on those, because can you imagine an alien finding those and be like, well, what's this Reddit? And just like, what's 4chan? That would be
why
horrible.
Is this thing
we
90% porn?
Yeah. Oh, this planet needs to go. Oh, they've got starships. What is this?
Well, it'll really be more of like, I understand why they're gone now.
It'll be like Galaxy Quest.
They really like copulation.
The trick with these discs is figuring out how to read them, and the visual layers above the core layer like include instructions on how to access and decode the digital data. If you can uncode like that information itself, so it's a little bit of a puzzle box. But if you can do it, then you will find three science fiction novels.
That's just ridiculous.
Very very helpful. Thank
it
you.
Seems
Eli.
Like a waste of the technology, but you know whatever.
I mean, I'm sure they're wonderful books.
Did
Isaac Asimov was a brilliant
guy. Three of these
guy.
Arcs.
There's one arc, but three books on the arc. The Isaac Asimov Foundation.
Yeah,
trilogy.
I mean, Isaac Asimov books are great and all, but you know,
it's like each letter, like one
how many
megabyte?
Terabytes were left over?
all of them. Oh man,
but it's cool.
We filled up 0.00001% of this disc, so you know,
it's kind of a no-brainer. Probably top five on the top 20 nerdy things of the year.
Would have been. It should be top one.
Well, I'm just saying it's somewhere in the top five.
Well, we don't know what's going on the rest of the year.
It could happen.
It's only we can only go down from here. Yeah. What else has been going on that rivals that? Nothing?
Well, Brandon, you and I spent the afternoon playing Mario Odyssey, finally.
Yes, that was just as fun as watching the rocket that I didn't actually see.
I mean, it's a little bit old hat to talk about this game from 2017.
Oh, that's a great
joke. I see what you did there. I haven't even played it yet.
Old hat.
This is the game where Mario's hat has eyes and feelings, and...
And it bores a drill into his skull.
Whoa,
and connects
that
to
sounds
his
like my territory.
Oh, hey.
And it's basically this multiversal Mario adventure through a bunch of aesthetically different worlds that are completely not anything you've ever seen.
Here's
in Mario
the thing.
Before.
This isn't the newest game. It's been out for a while. We've just been lazy and not...
No. Cap's been busy and not playing.
Yeah, we've been lazy. And we've been.
I don't know. I mean, do you guys want to feel better? I mean, I just finished Fire Emblem Awakening this weekend, so.
I played the first Fire Emblem and haven't gotten to the second one yet, so I'm still working on that.
Was that GameCube?
No, way before that.
No, 3DS.
Yeah, 3DS. But so Mario Odyssey, I didn't really have that much of an interest because I'm all Mario'd out. I play like nearly every Mario game. I don't care. But when Cap and I picked it up and did two-player mode, it is the most fun shit that I've played in a long time.
Brandon was the hat, and I was the Mario.
And we were unstoppable. We could have conquered the entire universe. It is like easy mode.
Well, except there is actually an easy mode, but...
platform jumping.
It's a lot of fun. It's still quite challenging with a friend, but they actually managed to take a Mario game, a 3D Mario game, and made it into a really just fun co-op.
It kind of reminds me of Mario 64. It's just weird and there's just hidden shit everywhere.
It is very Mario 64.
And as soon as you possess a T-Rex and it has a giant mustache on it, you're sold. Like this realistic looking T-Rex and it has a goofy ass mustache and a hat. It is beautiful.
Yeah, this game is weird as hell. We're just collecting moons all day. How many moons do we get? Like 30 in like an hour?
The moon bananas? We got like 50 moon bananas when we're only supposed to get like 4. I don't know. It was weird. There's a lot of collectibles.
It's very hard. It sucks up a lot of my time, and I think I'm only on like the fourth world as a result because I feel like I need to find all of the moons.
Well, yeah, we just did a thing where we completely tried to wipe out this desert place, and then when we think we did, we beat this boss we found hidden, and then it changed the entire world, and now we have to do things all over. Like, it completely changed it. It was great.
Yeah, it keeps going. I mean, Jess, have you been playing it since it came out?
I played it when it came out, and then I took a hiatus, and I haven't gotten back to it, I think, probably since December. I broke off, and then I played Fire Emblem on my 3DS because I could take it to Japan and get all
She's been to Japan. She doesn't have time for this. But if you have a Switch, you kind of have to buy it because it's one of the two good games out, and you should get it.
Yeah, well, as soon as I conquered the Zelda DLC I played Splatoon enough.
You've reached that point. It's enough.
I mean, I just needed... Splatoon is a game where, you know, you need to want to play competitive online stuff.
It's like Call of Duty, but for Nintendo.
I needed another game where I could just play it. So,
and that was Mario.
That was Mario, and boy, it's amazing. I love it. And there's another new video game that came out this past week. Actually, it's called Monster Breeder.
Yeah, it's Monster Rancher World.
I'm still waiting
for the next.
We're talking
Monster
about two Rancher. Different games. Let's talk about we'll talk about Monster Hunter, and then we'll talk about Monster Breeder.
Oh, you weren't joking.
I was not joking.
What the hell are you talking about?
I thought we were gonna go look for CDs around the house and put them in there and see if we could.
I got a Swayzo.
You know, I want a true story about Monster Rancher. I came very close to going to a used CD store to buy that NSYNC record or whatever.
For like
it was.
The one rare thing you could get on it. Yeah. You couldn't get on any other CD.
Yeah.
But why colored Pixie.
I really didn't want to.
I just started burning random data onto discs.
I did have a lot of burnt discs, and I was like, let me just put these in.
I had a handwritten list of my entire CD collection at the time because I had so few CDs that was possible, and of all the of what they would give me. And
oh
man, this is when games were fun.
Here's a good question. Does anyone even know what we're talking about?
I don't
now?
Care. I know what we're talking about. Monster Rancher. You put a random disc in the PlayStation, and it'll turn it into a monster. And depending on the disc you put in, it could be a rare monster or not. I think it's a bit random.
That's the game.
There was this one really rare monster you get from an NSYNC, was it? Album?
Yeah.
And you had to find it. You had to buy it. It made you buy a lot of things or illegally download.
Well, it was hoping you would have them already because you were a tween. If you were,
this started my whole.
I was not.
This game started my whole obsession of just downloading things that I shouldn't. not that I'm admitting this on the air. Anyway, what are you talking about? Monster Breeder?
Yeah, well, Monster. Sure, we'll talk about Monster Breeder. Monster
you
Breeder
brought it up.
Is a text based game at monsterbreeder.com. It's made by Neil Cicerega, aka Lemon Demon, aka the guy who did Harry Potter Puppet Pals, and you run a monster farm and you wander around places and pick up monsters.
And it's text based.
It's text based. Yeah. So let's see. Right now, I'm gonna go exploring. I'm gonna drive.
Are you playing it right now?
Drive to the city.
While we're recording.
Yeah, here we are. I'm gonna drive to the suburbs. I'm gonna explore the suburbs. Let me just walk around here. See what I get.
Okay. There's a little bit of a picture.
I don't see you typing. How are you playing this? Yeah, it's text based.
It's point and click. I thought that's exactly.
Well, I mean, it's oh, there's a monster for a second there, but I missed it. I clicked too fast.
Boy, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, it's
I don't
awesome.
Even understand
Ooh,
how you're playing
car.
It if you're not typing.
Anyway, so you walk around, you capture monsters, you put them in your truck, you like hopefully expand your
you put your, them in your truck
your gear
you got a truck.
Yeah, but you might find a Terminator, you might find a Michael Myers, you might find a Xenomorph.
So actual monsters,
actual monsters.
Monsters.
You might find a Cookie Monster.
Can you train them and fight them?
We've been having a little conversation on the Nerdy Show Lounge, which is the Facebook group that you should totally get on if you're on Facebook and hang out with us. Let's see. If you crossbreed Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers, you get Night Myers on Elm Street. If you breed two leprechauns together, it just makes another standard leprechaun. But if you release them, they give you $100 a piece.
What?
If you breed a Terminator and a Blob, you get Liquid Metal.
Oh.
If you breed Michael Myers and an evil car, you get Moto Michael.
or an evil car and a ghost gives you a Dodge Spirit.
Do you get to see what they... That's actually really funny.
There's no graphics.
It just tells you with words. You have a Dodge Spirit.
Leatherface plus a Xenomorph gets a Leatherface Hugger.
Oh, I like that.
A Gremlin plus Cookie Monster is a Midnight Snacker.
Oh, that's good.
A Blob and the Devil is a Beelzeblob.
Well, I'll definitely maybe not pick this game up when I'm bored. Maybe I will. I don't know.
If you're at work, just you want to not be working, just put on Monster Breeder.
You know what? That's every day. So, yeah, I'll check that out at work and get fired.
But Brandon, you and Rob have been having a lot of fun with Monster Hunter World.
You're just going to play it back, Rob Bort? All right, so on a whim, because it looked pretty, I bought Monster Hunter World, and I thought it would be great if Bort would get it.
We were hanging out, and we sort of...
Impulsively
made a hasty pack $50. To both buy this game.
I used a 10% off coupon, so I mean, I got 10%. I got like $5 off. Ooh. But here's the thing. I've always hated Monster Hunter World because my experience from playing it back in the day...
Isn't it just called Monster Hunter usually?
Sorry, Monster Hunter. This is how much I don't know about the game. Like, I played a game and the controls are clunky, and when you go to hit a monster, it's already either gone or it's attacked you and it's clumsy. And then the monster you're hunting runs away, and if you didn't tag it with paintball items that you didn't bring into the quest, you have to look all over the map to find it. And then when you find it, your weapon is blunt and you've got to sharpen it. And then by the time you hit the monster, it's already flown away again. And it's just like, it's horrendous. And then when you finally kill it after 40 minutes, you can have to kill it 20 more times to upgrade to that weapon you want.
But the thing is, in this game, they have solved exactly one of those problems, and all the rest of them are still there.
Yes, but it's really fun, and I actually really like this.
Wow. Okay, so several years ago at this point, we did a listener-requested microsode about Monster Hunter, where the advice to Brandon was, get good, noob. And But now you like it.
I got good. Yeah. Well, they added a new weapon that actually isn't slow, and I like it.
Which one?
Well, I like the bow.
Well, I know you like the bow. I didn't know that was the glaive, the
glaive is what I started with. There's an insect glaive, which was really cool. But
yeah, Brandon and I both started with the same weapon.
Because it was like the coolest weapon. It came with this giant
bug.
We
both decided like, oh, this is the coolest weapon. This is the one we're using. And then we got to like in the
first
game.
Can you play together?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been playing together nonstop.
Well, yeah, like we created our characters, we started playing it, and then like we're like, oh, hey, let's go on a hunt, and we're both using insect glaives, you know?
I did spend an hour making my character look really ugly with black lipstick, really old, and he looks like Scorpius from Farscape a little bit.
Oh, I just captured Norman Bates, by the way.
Wait, excuse me?
In Monster Breeder,
I was like, in real life, he was a thing? We just got him? But Monster Hunter World, I gave it a chance, and I've been playing it nonstop. It's really, really fun.
I don't know how I feel about it, but I've still been playing it, and I'm continuing to.
It still has the thing where if you have a heavy weapon and you swing at a monster, by the time you hit him, he may be like on the other side of the map.
Lately, I've been using a gigantic switch axe thing that's just a huge, slow sword axe that it switches between being a sword and an axe.
It's called a switch axe.
A swax.
A swax, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And, the thing is, and you know how in most video games you're able to, like, maybe lock onto an enemy or the game at least understands what you're fighting? So you push a button to swing your axe, or you're doing a combo, and your character, like, has some innate ability where it knows kind of what you want to hit. So your character will pivot a little bit or, you know, turn towards your target. And this one, if you're doing a combo... You'll just combo in the air as the monster is on the other side of the map because it's too fast. Or, like, it'll just take a sidestep and you're still comboing in the air and it's just, like, right next to you. And you're like, come on, man, just turn a little bit. And it won't respond to you while it's in the middle of a combo.
See, that's why I have a fast weapon, because if I miss, I can just move really quick and stop what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. For a while, that's all I was doing was I was just using the fastest little dagger things because that was the only thing I could actually hit something
You folks
with.
Sure make this game sound fun.
It is.
Yeah, I told you, I don't know how I feel about it.
Any kind of end game, or is it you just like literally run around kill?
There is a story. You do progress and you get a higher rank and you unlock higher ranks. You actually have a base and you build more things for your base and you unlock things. I thought I was near the end of the game and I just unlocked like the second half, and it went almost crazy Diablo, where there's like new items and everything has slots now that you didn't in the entire game. And there's like randomly generated
things. They should call it Monster Crafter.
because it's
you do
all
a lot
about,
of crafting. Yeah,
it's all about making better armor and weapons.
Well, and getting good. Getting good. Which I think I'm getting slowly.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't do a good job of explaining to you how anything works.
Yeah, the whole point of the game is to kill a monster and then use its body to make better weapons and armor to kill the next bigger monster.
It's actually it's a little depressing because it's like, we really love the environment. We're here to study and research like how everything works together. Now go out and kill everything and eat it and make weapons from its bones so we can study it. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like whale hunting. It's like, we love the environment.
I was gonna say, that sounds like the Nishan Maru.
It was really funny. It was almost like a very Japanese-y way of thinking. Like, we love the environment, so kill these things that aren't sustainable so we can study them. And then there'll be none
left. Oh, this thing's very rare.
Kill it. We need to make a camp here, but there's a rare like breed of raptor. But guess you should murder it. It's like, oh, okay.
Monsters are hiding on this island. We should go there and kill them all.
Yeah, that's pretty much the plot of the game.
Yeah.
But man, is it fun. I really like it. They did fix a lot of the problems that I hated, like tracking monsters. You don't need to throw shit at them. You can just...
But there's like weird design choices that they made when they made this game. Like, we can't be in each other's same town.
The multiplayer,
like, if you're playing
hard
with somebody else,
yeah,
it's really awkward for me to play with Brandon because you have to go out into the PlayStation.
I mean, that's true. So, that's a true fact. You've just stated
there's no in-game invite friend thing. It's like you have to go outside of the game, click on, like, I'll click on Boar's profile and be like, I'll be like, I can join his session.
Yeah, and so when you're on in a session, it just means that you and like 1,000 other players are in the same group that you could potentially go on each other's missions if you want. But if you have like a friend with you, there's no easy way to just be like, okay, I want to tag along on all your missions, or like, I want to come into your town and see what you're doing. No, like, each individual mission you have to like join with them, and usually you have to search through a list of stuff to,
and there's sort of an in-game friends list where you can trade cards and things,
but when you click
on them, you can't be like join game or join session. There's just nothing.
So Brandon and I created a squad because we thought, oh, okay, cool, you can make a squad, you can add your friends, and we're like, oh, this must at least cut out a couple of steps.
Hashtag scale watchers.
Yeah, hashtag scale watchers is our squad. We would invite all of our listeners to join it with us, but we have absolutely no idea how to do that.
Yeah. you have to already be friends with us on the PlayStation, and then we have to invite you to
while
our session.
While you're in-game with us.
Or join your session, because I don't know if we can invite. And then when you're in there, we'll click on your name in the server list and click invite to squad.
But hey, maybe we're noobs and we haven't gotten good at the interface yet, so if you know how to join hashtag scale watchers, all one word... We would gladly invite you to that squad.
After 50 games, how do they not know how to do... It's like Nintendo building the next system. It's like, here's a 20-digit friend code. I'm like, do you not know how multiplayer works at this point?
You know, if we had that 20-digit friend code, at least we could give it out.
Yeah, well, at least people could post it. You're right.
Well, that isn't how it works on the Switch, which is fun.
Oh, yeah, the Switch is ridiculous trying to add a friend.
Well, how does it work on the Switch?
I've forgotten. It's not a friend code.
You have a QR code?
You have a friend code that like I take a picture of and send it to somebody.
Oh, it's a QR code.
And then I have to enter my friend code, and then we become friends.
When will they learn?
That's not the worst. It's been worse.
If you have a PlayStation, you should definitely spend money on this game so I can play with you.
If we can figure that out.
Yeah, if we figure out who you are, when you're going to be on, if I'm in the same session, and, you know, if you want to join the squad, which doesn't do anything except say you're in a squad.
Well, we get a little symbol by our name,
I think. We can create our own squad session.
Yeah.
But someone has to be there to make it, and then other people need to search
for
that
squad session. There's this option where you can join your squad session. And so Brandon was online, and I was like, oh, I'll just search for his squad session and join that. Thinking that it'd be an easy way to just, you know, like it would be a shortcut to play with Brandon. But no, it just put me in my own little world by myself.
With
absolutely no other players. But Brandon could have joined if he wanted, but nobody else probably could have.
I mean, once I had to quit my game, I don't think it
notified Brandon.
No.
He would have had to quit his game.
There's no notifications that says your friend whatever is on.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Well, okay.
The actual gameplay is fun, though. I like it.
That's
There's
cool.
A lot to do.
I'm glad to hear it.
I customize a little cat. I have a mansion where there are cats playing the harp around my lake.
What?
And all of the fish and animals I caught, I have rabbits running around and birds and like fireflies in my mansion while cats are playing musical instruments for me. And cooking.
Okay, this game just went up in my opinion, yeah. And now I'm now.
Well, so you start as a crappy hunter and you live in a boat, but then you can upgrade your house, and then at a certain point you just get a straight up mansion overlooking like the mountains, and you get your own pond.
Oh, and you always have cat anthropomorphized cats following you around.
Okay, I was going to ask if you could verify that. So, how does that work? Is this a staple of Monster Hunter?
It's like an assistant. It's called a palico, and you can customize and give them their own armor, and they can help you out by giving you like healing
items.
Because
it's a palico who's a pal.
Palico. Yeah, palico, calico. Well, you can make them a calico. You can make them whatever colors you want.
Huh.
They have their own set of shit you got to deal with.
Let's breed some monsters. Here's my inventory right now.
Oh god!
I collected some monsters. I wandered around the desert. I have a Terminator. I have a Cookie Monster. I have a Gremlin. I have a Blob.
What, you actually fight with them?
No, you breed them. You capture them and you breed them. This is about raw.
Is this eugenics?
Sex and eugenics. Yes. All right. I have a Wolfman. I have Norman Bates. I have a skeleton. I have a mummy, and I have a zombie. What two things are we gonna breed?
Oh, Wolfman and zombie.
How about the mummy? The mummy,
Wolfman
mummy and a wolfman.
Well, what if you do a mummy and a zombie? Aren't they the same thing?
No.
A mummy is technically a zombie, okay, just wrapped in bandages, right? Yeah,
it could be a half-wrapped zombie.
I've clicked.
Just got a loincloth.
I've clicked the mummy, and actually I haven't encountered this before because I haven't had so many creatures to choose from. I can't breed the mummy with the gremlin or the wolfman.
Can you breed the mummy with the zombie?
Yes.
Can I see what happens?
Yes.
Let's.
It looks like the mummy and the zombie are mating.
What?
They're done.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Oh, good.
You've successfully bred the mummy and the zombie. Their child is beautiful. We've got a zombie.
It's a zombie. Can you describe what the hell a zombie is?
Let's see. I'm going to talk to the zombie. Zombie says, memories love me, what show bro sup, helmf shall brains shall. I'm going to talk to that zombie again. Groan, ugh, awaken, brew, not what, moan. I don't know.
Wow, this is good podcasting.
It's a pretty in-depth game.
How about we breed Norman Bates and
the zummy? We gotta keep the zummy going.
You can't breed things that have been crossbred.
Well, that's fucked up. I want to keep it going. I want a pure line.
Norman and the Terminator. How's that sound?
All right.
They're mating.
Should we guess what his name is gonna be before it even happens? What do you think of Terminator and Norman?
It's pretty
Bates?
Good.
Is it Turbates? Turbaton?
It's Norman Bites with a Y. Monsterbreeder.com, everybody. Anyway.
Hey, you want to hear something funny?
What's funny?
You guys all love Doritos, right? Which I don't. Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't the thing.
Did you hear about Lady Doritos?
Oh my god, yes. Yeah. I actually heard a Freakonomics episode where the CEO was talking about it, and I was like, what the shit is this use case?
The CEO, who is a woman of Pepsi, who owns Doritos, which I didn't know, news to me, they came out, they were talking about Lady Doritos because women don't enjoy loud crunching noises or getting their fingers dirty, or scientific fact, they don't like licking their fingers in front of others, and they don't go for the crumbs on the bottom of the bag.
Or tipping the bag into your mouth to get the last bit of delicious crumbs, which I've obviously never done because that would go against my lady sensibilities.
Yeah, I mean, the backlash they got was hilarious, that Doritos posted a thing saying, there are already Doritos for women, it's called Doritos. And it was pretty funny.
So was Doritos sassing the executive who proposed it?
I think they had to do damage control because they were like making tinier, daintier bags to fit in your purse and like all these things.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, it was like a real product that they were going to release. And like when I was listening to the Freakonomics episode, she was like talking about how proud they were. And like, this is like the market research that goes into it. And we've found that, you know, women just don't like, crunching noises. Don't make making crunching noises.
What kind of woman are they talking about? All the women I've been around who eat Doritos, they're eating them for a goddamn reason. If you're so high class.
See, that's the thing, is they're trying to spread out and go to the women that don't eat Doritos.
They're not going
to
be eating Doritos.
Increase their market share.
I don't think they'll eat Doritos. I think those women don't eat Doritos for different reasons.
If you're so high class that you don't want to get shit on your fingers and have a loud crunching noise, you're not going to be eating Doritos anyway.
I'd say you might want to eliminate gluten, eliminate the fact that they're sold in a bag at a convenience store.
It was just ridiculous.
They have to be fresh. They can't be fried.
You might want
to
serve them under one of those.
Make the bag pink, obviously.
Right, pink bag, but underneath one of those silver domes, you know, that you lift up at a fancy restaurant.
Yeah.
That's probably where you're gonna.
That's class.
And they're round, so they don't cut your mouth with those edges.
It turns out they're just bags of fresh kale.
Well, you know what? The sad thing is I kind of want to know. I kind of want to try one. They're never going to make them now, but I kind of wanted to know what it was like to eat a lady Dorito. I want to know how they like got rid of the crunch. Like, is it like a sponge now? But we'll never know. They're not going to make them.
I guess it's like, is it like if you suck on it for a while and
it dissolves,
it just becomes kind of mushy?
They dissolve under your tongue. There's no chewing involved. They dissolve straight. Like, you know those little plasticky like breath mint strips you put on your tongue and they just dissolve? Oh, yeah. It's literally a Dorito flavored plastic strip that dissolves. It's ranch dressing, not ranch. Difference is a difference.
Yeah, they don't want cool ranch. That's too, wow. That's too exciting.
Oh, it's cool ranch and cucumber.
But I thought I just wanted to mention how hilarious it was.
Cucumber water Doritos.
I would try that for 1 minute.
Not if it was crunchy, though.
Can't handle that. It might make me go into a crazy blind rage.
But yeah, how funny is that? Wasn't that like the CEO that was talking about this?
Who is a lady? Yeah.
So when their marketing department was like, we got to do damage control. What do we do?
Yeah,
and they posted. Slander the CEO. Do it. Go.
They didn't really slander. They just posted Doritos are already for women, basically.
But yeah, but you're kind of talking
they didn't
against
say,
what your
I,
CEO
I don't
said.
Know if they might have apologized.
That's
I mean,
just
I don't care.
That's kind of funny, though.
I mean, that happens all the time with
what
the
do
president.
We do? What do we do? Yeah, just go against what the CEO said. Yeah, turn your back on her. That's fine.
I mean, that happens in our government every single day. So, I mean, it's fine.
Well, yeah, but governments and corporations are just run a little bit differently.
Are they?
And I don't know that people are turning their back on a certain person in power, but some people just double down.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, that was fun.
Well, hey, you know what's a responsible place to put your money that you would be spending on Lady Doritos or political campaign donations?
Your coin purse?
GoFundMe to Japan. Hashtag Brandon to Japan.
Nerdy Show. I just want to reemphasize once again that you can support us via patreon.com/nerdyshow, and there's a ton of perks available, including all kinds of bonus content. And early episodes at even, you know, just a dollar, and every little bit helps. Seriously, if you're listening to this
even
show.
Even if it's just a stolen widow coin.
Right, just a coin from a poor widow. We will take that on a monthly basis. So once a month, find a poor widow, take advantage of the situation.
Make sure they're not a gypsy, though, because you'll be cursed.
Oh, yeah, you really don't want to do that.
Because those necro pants, if you do get them, will never come off. They will be your real legs.
And they'll be dancing forever.
Yes, and the genitalia will be swinging like meat spin. Anyway. Like, nonstop. Like, we don't stop.
But there is another way to contribute if you don't have a coin purse full of poor widow coins. And by coin purse, I mean scrotum. I mean necrotic scrotum.
Coin janglers.
You should go to iTunes and give us a rating or a review. That would be super rad. Or you could also go to Podchaser, which is a new platform we like very much. Some fine folks have been very active on there. We said, hey, on the Nerdy Show Lounge, hey, folks, some of our other shows in the network haven't been getting a lot of love. And people stormed these things. I mean, some folks rated and reviewed every single episode from a series. It's happened. I've seen incredible stats happening coming out of here. There was actually a recent comment on our last regular episode of Nerdy Show, Don't Be a Brandon. Crafty Bastard
said... Oh, I thought
said,
that was the comment. Sorry.
that was the episode. Don't be a Brandon. That was your comment from the episode.
Yeah.
Turned to the title.
Yep.
Crafty Bastard said, "Woo, thanks to Brandon for illustrating so clearly how not to behave. Moral quandaries and life choices have never been so easy to navigate after listening to this episode. Also, Boar drank some crappy dew. Stop drinking dew, Boar."
Stop doing the dew.
As soon as they stop putting out new flavors all the time.
You don't have new flavors right now.
Yeah, I don't have any. I haven't found any.
Could be the end.
Crafty Bastard also wrote in for our commentary for Dracula Untold and said, "I saw this film, but appreciated it more after listening to this commentary. Thanks, Nerdy Show."
I wasn't part of the commentary, but I imagine it was amazing.
It was great. We invented a new candy bar. It's called Betwixt. It's a package of Twix, but there's three of them.
What? That's kind of funny. All right.
No, it's kind of funny. It's brilliant.
I know. It is brilliant.
What about think about probably one of the better ideas I've ever come up with.
It's going See, on
the idea was
idea.
You know how they have peanut butter Twix. The idea for the initial Betwixt was to have a jelly one in the middle.
Wait, was it? Were you?
That's the idea.
Gross.
No, it's amazing.
A brilliant idea.
That's all right.
Mars Corp. The we're still open. We're still please. This is $1 million
idea.
The
rights are available, right here.
Yeah,
or free because you didn't patent any of that, so they could just have it.
Well, that's the interesting thing about copyright law is that once you can prove that you're the first one with that idea,
all right,
you can sue about it.
with the legal fees sponsored by Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, you should go on Podchaser. You can rate and review series, but you can also rate and review individual episodes. And of course, if we find a rating or review, we'll sniff it out and we'll read it.
Oh man, what if Mountain Dew makes Lady Dew?
I was gonna say
it works on a few levels for me anyway.
It doesn't have any bubbles.
But just the fact that it's called Lady Dew.
Ladies don't
want to
burp.
The bubbles. They love the Prosecco or the whatever.
Okay, then it should be
drinks,
lightly carbonated. So
zero
you don't
sugar.
Burp.
You mean LaCroix?
Sweetened with stevia.
Well, what,
kidding, I don't know.
Okay, Jess, what is Lady Dew? What flavors?
Oh God, you're asking the apparently non-lady who pours the Dorito empty chip bags into her mouth.
Beef.
Like, you know,
it's beef
the
flavored.
She is.
It's bouillon beef.
That's new pumpkin spice dew.
Oh yes, pumpkin spice. That's
we're gonna get yelled at for this.
Probably, yeah.
For saying Lady Dew.
What's wrong with Lady Dew?
We're going down the Doritos path.
What Doritos path?
Of making Lady Doritos.
It's a very noisy path. It's all crunchy. Right.
Maybe it would have to also be the opposite. So instead of Mountain Dew, maybe it's Valley Dew.
Valley Dew. It's just called Lady Dew. Lady Dew.
Maybe. Mm.
Lady D-O. Like Lady, like you do it.
Or D-O-O, like you
go,
made
girl,
do. Like you
know,
or you pooped.
I'm a terrible chick, apparently.
With an exclamation point at the
that
end. Lady
make,
Dew.
That would make Do the Dew kind of extra confusing written.
True.
Just make it Japanese. It'll be called Lady Get with an exclamation point.
Well, speaking of fun Japanese drink, I did have Pokhari Sweat while I was there,
ooh,
which was actually
what's Pokhari
quite tasty, despite the name.
Sweat? It sounds gross.
It's like a sports drink.
Yeah, it's like a sports drink. So it's meant to replenish what you sweat out is basically where the name comes from.
Oh, I'm looking it up. Yeah, it looks like water.
Hopefully you had Calpico while you were there, too.
I did, yeah.
And did you have any of those interesting the hot beverages? Because a lot of the vending machines over there for beverages have both cold and hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sometimes you actually just get like it's just like a regular tea in a plastic bottle, but it's heated, and you can get them at convenience
stores. No, I asked if you
too.
Had any interesting ones, because when I was over there, I had hot pancake drink, I had a hot corn soup that was just like a liquid drinkable
soup. Did you say it was hot
in
a plastic cup?
Well, no, that's the idea. Yeah, it's like if you go to the convenience store and you get, it's just the tea that's in like a normal plastic bottle, but it's just warm.
Guys, if that shit ain't BPA free, I can't drink hot plastic. You can get cancer.
I also had a hot peach drink that was fantastic.
I had the hot red bean drink, and that's really good.
Whoa.
But I'm a sucker for red bean.
That sounds weird.
I too am a sucker for red bean.
I just thought Japan was all Pocky and Ramune. Now you're talking about red bean drinks and shit? hot pancake?
Hot pancake drink was great.
How great would it be to have a hot pancake drink in a hot springs?
Fucking awesome.
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
Go fund me, everybody. Well, I'm done here, guys. I'm done. The episode's over. Done.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Nerdy Show. We'll be back next week with something entirely different.
Maybe new Mountain Dew flavors.
Oh, God,
maybe
I hope
some
not.
Some Lady Dew.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.